We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
I want you to get this in your mind. Lead me not into temptation. One of the functions of the Spirit of God is to lead us. You know why? Because we don't do very well at leading ourselves. If you lead yourselves, or if you let your wicked heart lead you, you will only ever find heartache.
Right. Amen.
We do not do well at leading ourselves. So the function of the Spirit of God is to lead us. And it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the Spirit of God leads us. Now, this sermon, Lead Me Not Into Temptation, I don't want you to think about where you are. And I don't want you to think about where you're going. I want you to think about the path from this point to this point. That's the area that I want to look at. I'm not talking about where you are now. I'm not talking about where you're going to be. I'm talking about how you're getting to where you're going to be. Now, I could go somewhere and I could pick up my phone and I could say, all right, I'm going to Kentucky. And I could plug that into my GPS. And what's the first thing it's going to tell me if you've ever used a GPS? It's going to pull up a map and it's going to go bloop, bloop, and it's going to bring me about three different ways to get there. And it's going to show me a time for each way. And it's going to say, this one's going to be 8 hours and 9 minutes. This one's 8 hours and 13 minutes. And this is 7 hours and 56 minutes. But the 7 hour and 56 minute one's got three toll roads. And it tells me about the path to get there. Well, I can tell you what Luke's going to do. He's going to find the shortest one or the quickest one. Bloop, that's the one I want. Well, you got to pay three tolls. I don't care. I'll throw him a $5 bill if it'll save me 15 minutes. I want the quickest way to get there. So when I plug it into that GPS, I've got multiple routes that all take me to the same place, but some of them take longer than others. Now, you may be going down the road driving, and you may be 4 hours into that trip, and all of a sudden your phone comes up and says, hey, there's been a wreck up ahead. But we're still on the fastest route. Does y'all's phone do that? Mine does. You're still on the fastest route, even though there's a wreck up ahead. It's going to delay you 10 minutes. Or it may say, hey, there's a wreck up ahead, and it's going to delay you 3 hours. You need to reroute and go this way. So I want you to get that in your mind, the path that we get there. Now, our nature is to want to get there as quick as possible. I do not like traveling. I despise traveling. And if I can get there and save myself 15 minutes, I want to do that. Well, in Exodus, the 13th chapter, where the children of Israel are is Egypt. And where the children of Israel are going is the promised land. But that's not what I want you to focus on. I want you to focus on the path to get there. Now, what would you want? Man, we've been in Egypt for 430 years, I believe it was. They have beaten us. We have seen generation after generation after generation die. We have seen babies born that grew up and died old people that never saw freedom. We are tired of this place. I'm tired of dealing with it. Let us get there as fast as possible. That's what I would have said. But notice in Exodus 13, in the 17th verse, it says this, and it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. Get it? For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people. Why? Because he loves his people, and that's a function of God, is to lead. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. I want you to let that soak in for just a second. They didn't have GPS back in there, but they had the Lord. And they stand there, leaving Egypt, wanting to go to the promised land, and we say, well, there's two routes to get there. We can go this way, and we can go through the land of the Philistines, which is much closer. It will cut our travel time down tremendously, and we can get to where we want to get a lot faster. And God says, we're not going that way. What do? You stomp your foot. Well, where are we going, God? We're going through the wilderness. What's in the wilderness, God? Going to be some times where there's no water. There's going to be some times where there's not any food. There's going to be times when there are things out there that are going to be difficult. But if I do not take you through the wilderness and I take you on the easier route, you will see war and you will turn around and you will turn your back on my blessing and you'll go right back into Egypt. There is a path that if I lead you on, will lead you into temptation. You with me?
Yeah.
Now, when you think about God, don't lead me into temptation. Don't think about God soliciting or enticing you with sin.
Amen.
Because I've already established in James that he doesn't work that way.
Right.
You know, it infuriates me. I'm sorry, Lord, if that's sinful for to be infuriated over this. But you cannot say, I went over here and I beat my neighbor to a pulp because I didn't like his barking dog. And then I went over here and I robbed two convenience stores and I got caught and I'm sitting in jail. But God's got a plan. That infuriates me. That is not God's plan. God is not sending you to your neighbor. He is not sending you into those convenience stores to get you to any point. You did that. You chose that path. If you wreck your marriage because you did not follow God's standards, that is not His plan.
Amen.
You understand?
Yeah.
God does not solicit us and entice us with sin.
Right.
But we can pray to the Lord, Lord, there are roads in this life that will take me to where you want me to go, but I cannot see what's in the way. I can't see what's in my path. I can't see the Philistines out there at war. But you can, God, and don't take me down a road to get to where you want me to go if there's something out there that you know is going to turn me back into Egypt.
Right.
Now, if you flip over to Proverbs for just a moment, I like the way this brother says it as good as anybody. As a matter of fact, I own my own business and I've modeled my business plan after this guy right here. Proverbs the 30th chapter. I'm going to start in verse 7. This guy is a guy that understood that he had a feeble frame. This is a man that understood that he had weaknesses. This is a man that understood that he can't always handle the easiest route. He can't always handle the blessings of the Lord. But he knows that he can't also handle suffering and not having anything. Now, the world will tell you this, make all you can and can all you make, right? Get out there and make everything you can possibly make, even if it means you have to sacrifice time with your family, if it means you have to sacrifice time with your church, if it means you have to put away the things that are important to go make all you can, go make all you can. That's what the world tells you. But that's not what the Bible tells you.
Right.
This says, two things I have required of thee, deny me them not before I die. He says, remove me far from vanity and lies. And notice what he says here. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and still and take the name of my God in vain. You see what he says? He says, Lord, there's two paths that I see. Three, really. Lord, this path right down through here, you could give me all the riches in the world, Lord. There's a path over here that if you set me on, and Lord, if you bless me too much, I will turn my back on you and deny you. That takes a man to admit that. But you know, the Bible tells us many, many times, the Lord even says about his people, he says, when I fed them to the full, then they committed adultery against me. You see, this man is wise enough to know, Lord, if you give me too much, on this path towards your blessings, I will leave you. And I will turn right around and go back into Egypt. But then he says, Lord, on this side of it, if you don't give me enough, Lord, if you don't give me enough, I'll forsake your commandments and I'll turn away from you and I'll go steal. So Lord, put me on a path that you lead me down that doesn't have those temptations. And just give me food that is convenient or suitable for me. And guess what? What the Lord may feed me with, you may not can handle. And what the Lord could feed you with, I might not can handle. Feed me with food convenient for me. Put me on a path, Lord, that I can handle. Put me on a path that as I walk down through this life, that I won't run into the Philistines. Lord, I realize that I may go over here and I may have to trust in you to bring water from a rock. Or I may have to trust in you to bring manna from heaven. But God, don't send me into the land of the Philistines. Amen. Because I'll see war and I'll turn away from you. And that's what this brother understood. That there are things, Lord, in this life that I cannot handle. I could give you thousands of examples. I think about preaching sometimes. You know, a young preacher may come up along and he may have visions of, Lord, I just want to get out and I just want to, you know, to preach to the millions and millions of people, and I need to be in a pulpit every Sunday, and I just want to do this and that. Well, guess what? The Lord doesn't just all of a sudden put you in that situation. It says that you don't need to ordain or lay hands on a novice lest he be lifted up with pride. Mm-hmm. Worst thing you can do to a young preacher is send him down a path that puts him in a pulpit all the time with people just hanging all over him and thinking he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. The worst thing you can do for him. Why? Because along that path, he's going to run into something that's going to be a tremendous temptation for him.
Right.
And that's pride.
Amen.
The Lord has a path for those young preachers. And I trust that we follow that path here. I knew a guy one time that felt the burden to preach some, and we began to talk a little bit. And he was beginning to soak up some things, and he was becoming very interested. And all of a sudden, his phone started ringing off the hook. Churches wanting him. And guess what? He quit talking to me. He said, well, everybody must know. I mean, obviously, I know everything I need to know. Because all these people are wanting me, and I was thinking to myself, Lord, protect this young brother.
Amen.
He's a novice, and he's being lifted up with pride.
Right.
Because he didn't follow the path that the Lord needed him to be on.
Amen.
Now, you could go through 1,000 others. You know what it's not? I know we got some athletes in here. I was an athlete. You know what the worst thing you can do to an 18-year-old athlete is make him feel like he is the king of the world.
That's right.
That is the worst thing. When I watch some of these college football players and their arrogance and their attitudes, I think we are failing them.
Right.
They are on a path, they are on a steam locomotive barreling towards temptation.
Right.
What we ought to pray for is, Lord, don't lead me into temptation.
Amen.
Lord, I may be this one day, but Lord, take me down a path that's suitable for me that I can handle.
Amen.
You could talk about marriage. Listen, I know you want to get married, young folks. I know you want to. There's 1,000 routes to get married. But you need to be on the route that doesn't lead you into temptation. You understand?
Amen.
That might mean it takes a little bit longer than you wanted it to take. It may mean you have to say no to some people that you think look pretty fine. But sometimes you just got to do it the Lord's way.
Amen.
Now, let me close with this. Yes, the Lord's way does work. We must be patient. So when you sit down to pray, the Lord says, this is what I want you to pray. Lord, don't lead me into temptation. Lord, you know my feebleness. Lord, you know my weaknesses. Lord, you know what will turn me back into Egypt.
Yeah.
Lord, you know what I can handle and you know what I can't handle. And Lord, even in my mind, I want it and I want it now. I will take manna from heaven. I will take the water from the rock. I will suffer with the people of God if I must to keep me from turning back into Egypt because I see the Philistines.
Amen.
That's what we ought to be praying. He tells us to pray that. Don't ever charge God with soliciting you with sin.
Amen.
You need to beg God to show you and to lead you based on what He sees, not on what we see. Do you understand?
Yes.
I hope that that's been profitable to you this morning. Thank you for your time and attention. Please pray for Brother Tim as he comes.